The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Justine Wetrick of KWOA in Sibley and Aaron Summers with the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Justine, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Thank you for joining us today, Senator.
Glad to be with you.
I have seen that recently the House reauthorized the Violence Against Women Act, and that will now be heading to the Senate. And this is legislation that you were in support of in 2018. With the way that that has been rewritten, what are your thoughts about this bill and how the Senate will react to it?
Well, I wonder what gun legislation has to do with violence against women. That's just one of the things that would cause me to want to vote for a bill that would simply reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, VAWA we call it. I'm very much in support of that act, and I think it's been on the books at least 30 years, and I'll bet it's been reauthorized most of those times, and I think just once in 2013 or 2014. I voted against it because it had a provision in it that was bad. But it turned out later on, I found out that it was a wrong interpretation of the Constitution, and I should have voted for it. But otherwise, I always have and still support the reauthorization of VAWA. But whatever else is added to it, before I gave you an answer, would I vote for something in the United States Senate? I have to wait till it comes up in the United States Senate. But I will be on the committee that would vote the bill out, amend it, change it, whatever you want to do. And from that standpoint, I can tell you that Senator Ernst put in a bill to reauthorize it. And I can tell you right flat out that I would vote for her bill if it got out of committee on change. Aaron?
Yes, thank you. Could you comment a little bit on the situation at the border with Mexico and kind of what steps you think the federal government needs to be taking right now there?
Yeah. Well, the first thing they need to do is let journalists and TV cameras in where these people are housed, to make sure that the public knows what's going on. Because one of the difficulties of answering your question, we don't have that sort of information. I'm going with a group of 12 senators to the border Thursday night and be there through Friday to observe things. So maybe I'll have more information then if they let us in to see everything that's going on. And I don't know what extent we'll be deprived of that. But we shouldn't be deprived at all. After all, we appropriate the money for it. We ought to know how that money is being spent. But I think that it really is a crisis situation. And it comes from the fact that too quickly after this administration took over, they started processing people, actually inviting people to come to this country. And we do want immigrants. In fact, the United States invites about 1 million people every year to come to this country legally, and we want and we welcome that. We don't welcome people that break our laws to come here. Back to Justine.
The Sunshine in the Courtroom Act was something that you helped recently reintroduce to everything that's been going on. This is something that would allow for media coverage of federal court proceedings. How do you balance having cameras in the federal courtrooms with safeguards and privacy protection for witnesses and for juries?
Yeah. The answer to your question is that the assumption is that that cameras be in the courtroom. It's your right. But anybody can raise objections to that in certain instances. And let's say that you want to protect some kid that was subject to sexual abuse that might be testifying. You want to protect that person's innocence. Well, lawyers would make a case, or the judge on his own could do it, and the cameras would not be in the courtroom. So we do take care of those special instances for privacy or protection of people, even protection of jurors, for that matter. Although, you know, we're just talking about cameras. We aren't talking about journalists being in the courtroom. And the other thing is, I feel safe in saying this is the right thing to do because 46 states, I believe, allows cameras in the courtroom. And also, I think another reason for doing it is just so people can learn more about our judicial branch of government at the federal level. I think that that it made a big difference when educating people about Congress, when the Senate finally allowed cameras about 30 years ago in the United States Senate. I think it'd be a good thing for the United States judicial branch to have them as well. Aaron?
Yeah, the most recent stimulus package includes a pretty significant amount of money for even small towns and rural and for counties. Do you have some ideas or some guidance for officials in these towns, small cities and small towns, how they should be spending that stimulus funding?
Yeah, spend it on one-time expenditures, which would be basically improving things that you couldn't otherwise afford to improve, or or building something that you wouldn't otherwise build. So you spend the money once because you don't want to spend it on recurring expenses, because there won't be another round of this kind of aid to state and local governments. Back to Justine.
I'd like to ask you a follow-up question about the VAWA Act. You had said that you indicated that you didn't understand what VAWA has to do with gun rights, and from what I'm seeing, they're talking about the closing of the boyfriend loophole, which would basically allow people that weren't married or, you know, a boyfriend or something, be under that jurisdiction. And that's something that you see a problem with?
Well, I guess I'm pretty much a purist on Second Amendment rights. And that doesn't mean that those rights are absolute. So I maybe should have said to you that that causes problems for me, and I would be willing to listen to the debate and maybe not not vote against the bill just because of that. But I got to start from the standpoint that the Bill of Rights, whether it's the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth or Fifth Amendment, are pretty sanct as far as I'm concerned, and I don't like messing with it unless there's a really good reason for doing it. Aaron?
Yes. If what would you like to see or prioritize in an upcoming infrastructure or transportation bill, and what would you like to see excluded from that?
Well, I don't want to say anything should be excluded, because what we do is probably going to have a great deal with the amount of money that we're willing to put into it. And when you're, so you got to prioritize how you're going to use that money. But until I know the amount of money that we're going to spend on it, it's difficult to rule something out. But I can rule something in for sure, to answer your question, and that would be broadband, because we learned from telehealth, the use of telehealth for because of the pandemic, and distant learning because of the pandemic, that rural areas aren't very well served with broadband, and we need greater broadband services, not only for the two reasons that I gave you, but just for the economic development of rural areas. More and more, the world's dependent upon the internet and broadband to get information, to run a business. You could probably, you folks could probably name 10 things better than I could that for the reasons for it. Justine?
Actually, Erin touched base on the other question I had for you, so if she has another one, she can go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, Erin, go ahead.
Yeah, just really quickly, what's your position on statehood for Washington, D.C.?
Okay. You know, you're the second person on the phone with me today that asked me that question, and from a smaller town, too. Anyway, by the way, this will be the last question. So I think you have to amend the Constitution to do it, because the Constitution lays out that there shall be a federal district, because the Constitution writers didn't want states to have any control over the federal government. So they set up the District of Columbia, and they did that way back when the Constitution was written. And they finally laid it out about 1790, about 3 years later, maybe four years later. And now we have the District of Columbia. So I don't know how you make a state out of what the Constitution writers meant to be separate from states. So amending the Constitution be one thing. Do I want to do that? No. I think that the federal district ought to continue to be separate and distinct. Okay, thank you both very much.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Justine and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs Program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.